The world and its lures can carry us away from God. Pastor Ray Bentley says God is waiting for real revival to stir our hearts.
Genuine revival is when your heart changes, when you have an awakening and you realize that, what am I doing? My dad loves me. He wants to bless me. I'm being a knucklehead. Boom, you sit down. Now the heart has been changed. The actions come not out of reformation that can slip back, but they come out of a real genuine revival of the heart.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. In trying to live the Christian life, some try real hard, some stop trying, and others let go and let God. Today, Pastor Ray shows us how God's Spirit can live through us when revival catches fire in our hearts and we stop getting in the way. We're in 1 John today as we begin.
Let's open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. He says in verse 4, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him, Jesus, there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him." I want you to go back with me to 1 John chapter 1, verse 10. Because taken out of context, you could read 1 John 3, verses 4 through 6 and say, if you sin at all, God's done with you. That's not what he's saying. So 1 John chapter 1, verse 10, John says, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him, God, a liar, and his word is not in us." Now, there's two things I like about this. John is saying that we're sinners. And the second thing that I like about that verse is he says we. He includes himself. So even the apostle John says, if we say we have no sin, then we make God a liar who says that we are sinners. So we all have sin. Now, look at the very next verse, chapter 2, verse 1. John goes on to say, "My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin." The whole reason he wrote 1 John is so you won't sin anymore. That's why Jesus died. Not just to forgive us so we can keep sinning, but that we can be forgiven and stop sinning. And then he goes on and he says, "And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father." So he's saying we don't want to sin and we're set free from sin, but we have to admit that we still sin, or we're calling God a liar. And if we sin, we have an advocate and Jesus' blood. We say, "Lord, forgive me, wash me, cleanse me." We repent and he forgives us. Now in verse 5, he talks about the problem of sin. He says, "And you know that he," Jesus, "was manifested to take away our sins. And in him, there is no sin." So Jesus came to take away our sins, not only to forgive us, but to remove sin from our lives. Now, notice the emphasis in this passage is not on our sins, plural, but he talks about that, but he's going to sin, singular. So sins, if you're writing notes, sins are the fruit, but sin, singular, is the root. It's a sin nature. When you're born, and even, you know, when we're brand new little babies, we're born of Adam. We're born with a sinful nature that left unto itself is a corrupting nature. And that's why we need to be born again, born of the Spirit that happens on the inside. Now, I wrote down some words that help to describe what sin is. Here's some words that describe what sin does to us. Sin destroys lives. It's misery, or putting another way, if you abide and live and try to make yourself comfortable in sin, you are going to be one miserable human being. It's poison. It won't kill you right away. You know, God said that the day your soul sins, you shall surely die. But Adam didn't die the first day. It took a long time, but he was dying slowly because the root of sin had come in. So it's poison. The other thing to notice is that sin makes you lonely. Your sins have separated you from God. God's holy. You choose to sin. You become and have a sin nature. You get separated from Him. He's our creator. He's our daddy. And when we are cut off from Him, something dies and shrivels within us. And the result of that is loneliness. One of the things that, when I share the gospel and give people opportunity to come to Christ, one of the things I always say, there are many things, but one of the things I know about people who don't know Jesus Christ, I know this about them because of what I know from the Word. I know there's an inner loneliness in their lives. It doesn't matter how many people they work with. It doesn't matter how many people they know, how many acquaintances. They're the life of the party. They're Mr. Mrs. Personality, Miss Soch, whatever. They're lonely. And the loneliness is inside. And it's because of that separation from God. And the weird thing is, once you have that loneliness, like something's not right between me and God, then you start feeling weird and separated and lonely. Even though you are with people all the time, you feel isolated from them. You can't connect with them. That's the result of sin. Sin is also deceptive. It lies. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, the prophet Isaiah said. It also is corrupting. It doesn't stay. You think, well, I'm just going to try to stay here, manage my sins, stay in the middle. I'm not that bad, not that good. No. You're floating down the stream. How many times have I been out in the bay or in the harbor and you think that you are in the same place, or surfing and you think that you're in the same place and you don't realize till you look up and go back to the shore, whoa, I had no idea. I've really moved. That's what sin is like. It moves you and you don't even see it, know it, or feel it. It's corrupting. And the last thing for me to avoid at all costs sin is because it makes you fearful. You will live with constant, perpetual anxiety and fear. Perfect love casts out all fear, but you'll be fearful all the time. So that's sin. That's the reality of sin. Number two, though, yet sin can appear quite lovely. Why do we sin? It appears lovely. It can have the appearance of something that's like, wow, cool. That'll make me happy. That'll take some of the pressure away or the edge off, or wow, look at that. And it really, sin in one way or another does want to numb you from life. And very quickly, if you feel and you have a conscience, thank God. The one that the Bible says is the most to be pitied is the one that can violate and do anything that the Word of God says not to do, and they go, and I don't feel a thing. Whoa. The Bible says your mind can become seared. You become reprobate. You literally have lost your humanity and that image that was made in the image and likeness of God. So when you become a believer, God is awakening. It's the healing is that you are feeling things and will continue to feel things to a greater degree and capacity to the height, depth, width, and breadth of the love of Jesus Christ. If you are feeling more pain, going, wow, man, I'm seeking the Lord. I started getting into a group and getting discipled and learning and growing, but man, it's hard and it hurts. Praise God. Thank God. You're alive. You are not dying and dead. It's normal. It's the normal Christian life. Either we choose to abide, which means to live in Jesus, or we abide and choose to live in sin. What is the prescription for sin, according to John? Abide. And to abide in Christ means to be in fellowship with the Lord in such a way that nothing will come between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a relationship with Jesus. It's not rules and regulations and lists. So, oh, how the church has done damage. We've made a religion and replaced what it's meant to be, a relationship with the Father. It's not, oh, you broke the rule, as much as it is, oh, I broke my daddy's heart. Now, at the same time, there are rules of the house, so to speak. I mean, if you have a house, there's some rules. Some have different than others, but God has His rules of the house. This is how we get along and live. We're all different. We all have unique and different personalities, but here's the house rules, guys, and they're called the Ten Commandments. This is how you will live and not only be blessed, this is how you will thrive. And then the New Testament summarizes the 10 into 2. If you do these 2, you've fulfilled all the 10, and the 10 works into 613 more. You fulfilled all those also. love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself, is the fulfillment of the law. And so where do we learn the heart of God? Where do we learn about our Father? And not just the rules, but the why and how and to understand so that we can agree with and be changed and transformed from within. And that's in the Word of God. Well, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 is in your notes. Let's read that scripture out loud together, shall we? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let his word, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh. So everything in the word is going to point you to Jesus.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. These daily studies go out around the country through radio and around the world at maranatharadio.com. And we enjoy hearing from our listeners.
Dear Pastor Ray, I wanted to take a moment to tell you what a blessing Maranatha Radio has been, as well as the internet streaming messages. My husband and I attended your services while we lived in San Diego, but moved back to our hometown a few years ago. We've been unable to find a church in our small town that preaches through the Word like you do. We were so thankful to God for providing Maranatha the capacity of spreading the Word to this high-tech world through your program.
How do Pastor Ray's daily studies bless you? Would you let him know? It's not only an encouragement to us, it lets us know this program is having an impact. Write Ray at RayBentley.com. Ray at RayBentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Now let's close by looking at verses 7 through 9. John says here, he becomes very affectionate. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Practicing righteousness. Practicing, that's how you get good at anything, is practicing. It is not just a matter of what you say, but being a Christian is more a matter of what you say equaling what you do, lining up your words with your life and living it. So in light of that, you practice righteousness. So that means you cannot abide sin. You can't live in sin and be comfortable. You can't live in sin and go, oh, it's not that bad, or, you know, it's cool, or... No, you can't be comfortable there and then say that you love God. I love this line in your notes. You can help me fill it in there. It is not that you become sinless, but that you sin less and repent more. And all repentance means is turning around. I was headed the wrong way. You know, turn around and face the Lord. Seek the Lord. Don't turn your back upon him. C.S. Lewis said, you don't realize how bad you are until you've tried to be good. Just try to be good. So I want to just talk for a moment about the difference between, and this is extremely important to get this concept, and it can take a lifetime to really live, the difference between conviction, condemnation. The enemy, okay, look, God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. Satan hates your guts, and he wants to destroy everything you have and everything that you are. Satan will condemn you. The Holy Spirit will convict you. What are the differences? Condemnation makes you ashamed, makes you want to run from God, makes you want to hide, just like Adam and Eve in the garden, and makes you want to quit even trying to follow him. Oh, man, how Satan has used this. What a great weapon. Because now that you've accepted the Lord, you've already awakened your conscience, now you're sensitive, and then you keep making mistakes, you keep sinning, and so the enemy just nails you and condemns you, bam, 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 and you go, I can't take it anymore, this isn't right. I'm running away from God. Oh, he's got you right where he wants you. Listen, know this, that condemnation is not from the Holy Spirit. That condemnation is not from God, it's from the devil. God doesn't condemn. Write down this scripture, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Many of you know it. If you know it, say it with me. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Period. God doesn't condemn his sons or his daughters. Never, ever, not once. That's why Jesus died for us. He took our shame, our guilt, our sin. Now, the Holy Spirit will bring conviction. But conviction is good. Conviction is to be desired. Conviction is from the Holy Spirit. And here's conviction when you are overwhelmed with the love of God. Oh, Daddy. Oh, no. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, please forgive me. It makes you want to crawl into his lap and just sit there and tell him that you love him and that you're sorry if you've done anything to hurt his feelings or his heart or his will. And it makes you want to try harder. Yes, effort is involved. You have not yet striven against sin to blood as Jesus, who is our example. But guess what? We're given that opportunity in this life. You can overcome. You are not enslaved to sin. You can be set free. You can be set free from addictions. You can be set free from the hooks of the enemy and the lies that he plants within those hooks. You can be delivered from the power of sin. Now, the reality is the gospel is simple to understand. It's very, very hard to live. We try to make it complicated. It's not complicated. It's simple. It's just hard to live. Look with me in verse 8. He says, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." And Jesus on the cross broke the power of sin. I love it. That's why we always go to the cross. That's why it's all about going to the cross. And then when you visited the cross, you can experience the power of his resurrection. Because on the cross, Jesus defeated sin and he destroyed the works of the devil. And that has an impact on your life. That's the whole theme of Romans 6 through 8. If you've never read Romans 6 through 8, read it. It's a great, powerful testimony of the Apostle Paul, in which he says in Romans 7, verses 24 and 25, it's in your notes. Let's read this out loud together. "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." There will come a moment, there will come a time in all of your lives, if you really love the Lord and are seeking the Lord and wanting to walk with him, where out of the abundance of your flaws and weaknesses and failures, that in the struggle against sin, you will cry out, "Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. I feel like a wretch." And you know what? It's good to go there. It's good to feel that and to know that. That is my testimony. And I can say that. Paul said that was my experience. As a man who knew the Lord and was filled with his Spirit and was seeking everything he could to stop sin and to live for the Lord. "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's when he goes from Romans 7 into Romans 8, starts talking about the ministry and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, who breaks the power of sin and brings new life into us and lets us begin practicing real righteousness. One of the things that you have to really, you know, we in this generation as Christians have to be careful is that, you know, because of our knowledge and the conscience is awakened, we know right and wrong, and we read the Bible, and this is right and this is wrong. And thus we bring to our children and we bring to our world and to our nation or whatever, we need reform. We need to reform. This is wrong and this is right. And we're seeking to bring about this transformation. But you know the story of, and probably if you, parents, you've ever had this story happen to you, a little girl, and the dad says, "All right, I've had it, young lady, sit down right now." She goes, "I'm not gonna sit down." He goes, "I said, sit down, young lady." She goes, "I'm not sitting down." He goes, "I am not telling you again. You're gonna get disciplined. You sit down right now." And so she squints her eyes and she sits down and she stares back at him. And she says, "I may be sitting on the outside, but I'm standing on the inside." You laugh as if you've known something like that. But we've all been in that place. We're stubborn. Yeah, you can reform. See, that's what reform does. It pressures people into outward conformity without any transformation of the heart. That is not genuine revival? Genuine revival is when your heart changes, when you have an awakening and you realize that, what am I doing? My dad loves me. He wants to bless me. I'm being a knucklehead. Boom, you sit down. Now the heart has been changed. The actions come not out of reformation that can slip back, but they come out of a real, genuine revival of the heart. Spurgeon said, it's not our littleness that hinders Christ, but our bigness. It's not our weakness that hinders Christ, it is our strength. It is not our darkness that hinders Christ, it is our supposed light that holds back his hand. And that's so true. I want to close with verse 9. Whoever has been born of God, John says, does not sin. And now I think you know what he means in the context. Not sinless perfection, but that you can't live there. You can't abide there. You're going away from it toward the Lord. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. You have a new nature. When you're born of the flesh, I was born a sinner with a sin nature, and the fruit of that was a sinful life. Now that I have been born again, now that you have been born again, the Holy Spirit within me has given me a new nature with new desires. And now, little by little, doing what is righteous is more and more natural to me, and sinning is more and more unnatural for me. The nature of Christ, the seed of God, is in me. I cannot practice sin. I cannot live there. I cannot abide there. I can't stand it. It is opposite to my new nature and the Holy Spirit within me. I may fall into sin, but it is so opposing to my new nature that I repent and I ask God's grace and forgiveness, and I'm miserable and uncomfortable. I want to live in Jesus. And that's why reformation doesn't work. It takes a change of nature and to be born again. You can put it this way, the seed of Christ is in you, and everything then you need is in the seed. Amen? Amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley, pointing out where real revival comes from. Good insight today on the transformation of our hearts. Now, today's presentation here on Maranatha Radio is available on CD. Contact us and mention Righteous Living. We'll be happy to send it to you for a gift of any amount. Again, the title, Righteous Living. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in 1 John on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at raybentley.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, there are a lot of novels available these days, so many gripping stories. But very few offer an opportunity to not only enjoy a good story, but also to learn something about God's Word, specifically Bible prophecy. But your new novel, called On the Mountain of the Lord, does just that, doesn't it?
It does, and that is what is so exciting. I've got this tremendously gifted pair of writers, Bodhi and Brock Taney, who for decades have been writing about the history of Israel, the modern rebirth of Israel, even the first century church and all of that. But I met them supernaturally. I think God brought us together, and I have some thoughts and ideas, prophetic understanding of what is happening right now. The 70th anniversary of Israel, the rebirth of Jerusalem being made the capital by the United States of America, bringing our embassy from Tel Aviv, now bringing it publicly before the eyes of the whole world to the city of Jerusalem. And man, it is put Jerusalem on the map of the whole world. Everybody is stirred up about it. And what does it mean? What does the Bible say about it? So I get to use this tremendously thrilling, exciting adventure story with this character, Jack Garrison, and take him on a journey that everybody gets to go along with this guy, Jack, and learn what's happening, what God is doing, the kingdom that's coming, and the return and the second coming of Jesus Christ. I'm so excited, I can't wait for people to read it.
Yeah, and we'll be glad to send a copy right out to you. Again, this new novel is called On the Mountain of the Lord. And we'll send it to you to thank you for your donation of any amount. You choose the size, but please remember that it's your generosity that allows us to keep coming your way each day with Pastor Ray's teaching. So send your donation today to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order online at raybentley.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in 1 John. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.